Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, we's recording.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, Rana.
That was Dumpty Dum by Tia, aged 4.
Oh, wasn't that lovely from
Tia, age 4?
I love the way
she forgot halfway through and went, halfway through the song. Very sweet.
The thing is, she had the musical accompaniment as well.
I know.
But anyway, Tia, smashing job. Well done. Folks, this is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that has centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands on the enlightened attitude that is Royfield Brown. Now with me are the uninformed speculation that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Lexi Gossip, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum comes from Mum Caroline and 4-year-old Tia. Now, Lucy, if any of our callers would like to send us in a Dumpty Dum, just how can that be done?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 0313 105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her brilliant voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek of Alone in the Back Bedroom. Derek is a tiny bit jealous at the moment, as he also volunteers at the Laurels, but it's Leonard who's getting all the attention. Derek does a bit of entertainment and regularly gets his organ out for the old folk.
Oh, well done, you. The smut has come earlier, but hard. Hey, see what I did there? On this week's episode, we have calls galore, folks, and from all over planet Earth, which is lovely. I love it when we get calls from Drew in Japan. We got Nigel in New York. We got Claire from Clapham. We got Patrick. Where's Patrick from? I don't know. Patrick, Glenn, Marion, Mary, Leslie, Berkshire Sausage, and of course, our Witherspoon. He's back. But first, before the one gazillion interesting, funny, insightful calls on this week's Dumpty Dum, it's our Lucy and a week in Ambridge.
We began the week in the kitchen at Willow Cottage. Brian was sitting in the kitchen sink having a bath and asking why Jenny Darling was still being horrible to him, even after he'd agreed to do what she wanted and plead guilty. "Because I'm having a lovely time being cross," she said. "It's the first time you've been banged to rights for ages and I'm making the bloody most of it." Then she repented and said, "Oh, Brian, we've been through such a lot. It was all entirely your fault, but we did get through it." Then Jill and Shula got all prurient about Lexi's pregnancy until Jenny Darling bristled and reminded them that it was courtesy of a turkey baster that the blessed soldier boy arrived, and then they both shifted about a bit. Brian was limbering up for the trial by wandering around the village with an axe looking for things to chop up. He went to see David and took a swing at him, but David dodged just in time. If he was looking for reassurance, he went to completely the wrong man. "It was one of the most humiliating moments of my life," said David, "when I was accused of badger strangling and I'd been caught playing with a toy farm." The day in court finally arrived. Adam did his unique version of calming Brian down, which consisted of him talking very urgently and in a wobbly voice right in Brian's face. Brian was accused of discharge activity. "Not for the first time, Brian. Most of your problems over the last 50 years have been caused by inappropriate discharge activity, but they haven't all ended up costing you 150 grand, although they probably should have done." Shula did the reading in church. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It is patient and not irritable, and it always remembers to hang its sodding dressing gown up. And it doesn't sound unenthusiastic when you suggest going off to save horses in Kilimanjaro. Jill confessed that she was going out with Leonard Rossiter, played by Tom Wrigglesworth's dad, and then became terrifically overexcited and nervous and began hooting so loudly there were cross-channel ferry captains looking round in alarm. She was completely hysterical. Lunch! She screamed. I can't! Yelled back Shula. I've got hula hooping classes at 3 and build your own U-bend at the Polytechnic at 5:30 and it's my turn to bring the hobnobs. Roy told Krusty that he didn't like people gossiping behind his back, but it turned out he wasn't that much of a fan of people gossiping in front of his face either. Shula is still trying to find herself with various activities, including a spot of art. She protested that she wasn't very good. Oh, you should see the other shite they put up, said her mother supportively. Shula asked Alistair if he wanted to come up and see her etchings. He went a bit quiet and then said, It's just a load of pictures of... Is that what the model really looked like, Shula? Why is he holding a rolling pin? Oh! Things over at Lower Loxley were getting worse. Elizabeth was rude to Bert Fry, which is like someone headbutting Alan Bennett. It's not going well. The rest of the family have finally caught on that she's actually depressed rather than a bit tired, and Elizabeth has taken a restraining order out on Jolene. Krusty and Helen made friends again. For inexplicable reasons, Krusty decided to take romantic advice about living with Philip from, wait for it, Helen and Roy. Roy, who's just waved the pregnant love of his life off and is wearing a shirt covered in limescale crumbs, and Helen, who's going out with a man called Lee because it's the only thing he can spell. She got basically the same advice from both of them, but put rather eccentrically by Helen. Seize the day, grab it by the throat, cover it in custard and stab it. Things at Bridge Farm were still as lunatic as ever. Natasha, who let us not forget has known Tom for about a fortnight, is now urging the farm on to buy another field. Imagine how much bigger we could be, she said. Who is this we? This is bonkers. There is no legal arrangement. She's getting no money. And then just to seal the deal on me hating the woman forever and ever, amen, she suggested a double date with the woman who was left bellowing at the altar like a stricken heifer by the very man whose sausage she is now stuffing. She's still being so arch, she sounds like her spine's going to snap. Even if she's asked if she wants a cup of tea, she says, yes, I will, as if she's been asked if she'll just pop her bra off. She is a 24-carat weirdo, and you heard it here first. Tom is, of course, entirely oblivious. I've stood in the packing shed and felt really excited, he said. I think it's all the courgettes. The high point of the week was the awful Meet Your New Daddy dinner party at Brooker's. Is that oxtail I can smell? Said Leonard. No, that's me. I'm a bit nervous, said Jill. The family described... The family described him as dapper, which I think in Ruth and David's case means he's had a wash. Jill is very enamoured. Apparently the staff at the Laurels think he's amazing. He has a penis and can work an iron at the same time. It's remarkable. Apparently David Attenborough is planning on doing a series on him next month as part of the evolution episode. Yes, Leonard, Brookfield has been like this since the 1600s. The architecture and the bloody attitudes. The end.
Oh, that's a triumph this week. Well done, you, Lucy. Well done. You know what? Take a bow. Are you bowing?
I am, under my dog blanket, yes.
Well done, you. Now, the last week in Ambridge, right? Well, we should really start with our Leonard.
Yes.
Didn't see that one coming, did we?
No, completely not. Absolutely, completely not.
Utterly
blindsided. But I do
blindsided.
Like the fact that it's Tom Wrigglesworth's dad, because he's got a great voice, I think.
Oh, hasn't he just? Did you understand David's slight discomfort by having, you know, another man right next to his ma?
Well, David's just kind of, he's a bit of a oaf, really, isn't he? I mean, God bless him. He doesn't have a lot of imagination and he doesn't have a lot of kind of, he just, if things change rapidly, he kind of gets a bit confused. And it just never, ever for a second crossed his mind that his mother might,
Liz, to be fair, it didn't cross any of our minds.
No, we didn't see that's true, but she's not our mother, you know. Ruth took it more in her stride, Jolene took it in her stride, Kenton probably will as well, but David was just completely flabbergasted because when a thing is a thing, it stays like that forever. He finds change very, very difficult.
But to be fair to David, I think the vast vast swathes of humanity find change of any type difficult, let alone you just kind of grown up, your parents are together, and then one of them 9-10 years ago toddles off, and the other parent is left but has not expressed any desire that she was lonely, needed companionship or anything like that. You know, you would just go, oh, you know, I must admit, I would like to think that. So my folks have been married for 50 years, right? Mm-hmm. And they perish the thought, but one day, you know, one of them will go. And if a few years after that, the other one took up with a partner, a new partner, I would be utterly, utterly supportive. But the first meeting is, you know, I would feel that it was odd. I think that's quite natural.
Yeah. Yeah, but not quite as, I mean, yes, I mean, I don't think he's against it particularly. I think he's just a bit staggered.
It wasn't like he ran him out the farm with a pitchfork, was it?
No, yeah, he's just a bear of little brain and too much too much confusingness confuses him. So, you know, he's just sort of... For anyone interested in the minutiae of a lot of bollocks, the judge in Brian Aldridge's scene where he pleaded guilty was an actress called Carolyn Pickles, who has been on The Archers as a regular character in 2003. I sound like Cosmo. And she also played the title role in a British drama series on Sunday afternoons. It was proper warm bath TV called Nanny. And yes, and her great uncle was Judge Pickles, who was quite famous in the 1980s. And she is also, I think, the granddaughter of Wilfred Pickles, who was a huge light entertainment radio interviewer in the 1940s.
Why do you know all this?
Because I recognised her voice. And then I messaged Kerry and said, was that Carolyn Pickles? And he said, yes. And then I read about her.
Look at you. That Pickles in the 80s, he was a funny chap, wasn't he?
He was. He was like a really famous Thatcher judge. Right. There haven't been any since that have been.
Yeah. Anyway. But I tell you what, there is a little bit of a link. Something has made sense in my head now, in my noggin, Arlouse. So obviously Elizabeth is suffering from depression.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jill, you'd think if anybody in that family would have spotted it first, it would have been our Jill. But it makes sense that she didn't, because she's
been distracted.
Exactly.
Shagging.
Because I was, and I don't know why I didn't do this, but last week's episode, on one of my notes, I had Jill would have spotted that Elizabeth couldn't cope. But now it all makes sense, the reason why Jill didn't spot. Though the whole Shauna and David saying, should we tell Mom? I don't quite have any argument as to why they shouldn't have. What do you reckon?
Are they, I don't know whether they're not telling her because they're trying to, I mean, it's not like they're going to fix it and then not have to tell her. We were going to tell you, but then we didn't need to because she suddenly got better. I mean, that's not going to happen. Or whether they're just trying they've left it too long now to tell her without her going, why didn't you tell me before? But whatever you take to mothers, they always say, why didn't you tell me before? So it doesn't really matter, does it? I think they may as well. They're still, I think they've done it, it's sort of sad, but they have done it quite well, the way that none of them can actually say the word depression without going, depression. You know, even Elizabeth said, I think I've got depression. And even she said it like that, like it's, you know, short smallpox or something.
We often say that this thing is so well written, but there was something about the portentous, I think I've got pause, depression, you know, trail off, that did to me feel with the, I could say the doom 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 doom, doom, doom. It did feel a little bit kind of hammy. I was like, oh, come on now, there's a way which that line could have been delivered. You know, we all know what she had, you know, what she's got. Sorry, let's get my tenses right. But, you know, to leave it as the last line, I just thought it was poor direction for that actor to have to deliver, because as somebody says in a call later on, you know, it's been played very, very well, but that was just poor direction. It wasn't anything the actor has done. They were told to do that, and the way it was cut together with the dum-de-dum, I'd have thought, nah, you know, we pay our license fee to be served up with something better than that, our loose. Now, we do. License fees aren't cheap. Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, and your folks are getting old when they start talking about free license fees. I was like, oh my God.
Freedom passes as well.
Yeah, Jesus. And they're still fit and healthy, my mum and dad. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, 75. Oh, yeah, you got it. You know, it's my right. You know, I've paid me stamps. I want my free. So, God. Anyway. Roy, Lexi, I'm not fussed. Are we having this storyline just to shadow Brexit? That's what everybody keeps on saying.
Yeah.
Because it gives the writers, you know, the twists and turns, they don't know where it's going. Lexi's going back and going, oh, March 29th, whatever. But I just, you know, I can't rouse an emotional bone in my body to give two flying figs about this storyline. I can't. So I'm just going to move on.
The Natasha Bridge Farm storyline is actually making me very, very, very cross.
Ooh, excellent.
Because it's total, total rubbish.
Oh, gosh, yeah. God, get on your soapbox.
Don't you think, though? Do you think I'm being... I'm really hot under this blanket, Royfield. I wish you'd stop making me go under your blanket.
Well, it's not me. You shouldn't have moved home.
No.
The acoustics were perfect
before. literally, he hasn't... I think he's known Natasha for under a year, maybe, just over a year. Mm. He was only been going out with her for the last 3 months, maybe. It moved incredibly quickly into, you know, going to meet her parents and all that jazz. And then this total lunacy about her giving him advice on, you know, advice on the thing that she knows about, which is these bloody trees. Fair enough. But they've changed the business plan of the entire farm. I mean, it was, you know, well overdue because I hadn't done it for at least a fortnight. But they've changed the thing of the entire farm because of Natasha's say-so. And now she's advising them to invest in more land and saying, we could be much bigger. She is no part of that farm. They have no legal agreement. They're not in a partnership. You know, it's absolute nonsense. And if it isn't, if she is, if that's sort of true to character, and, oh God, now my blanket's falling off. If that's true to character and that's just the kind of person that Natasha is, then alarm bells like the sodding, you know, chiming, screaming chimes should be like a like an air raid siren should be going off in Tom's ears.
Loose. Yeah. Right. Now, far be it from me to chastise anybody about moving fast on things of an emotional romantic bent, right? So I'll throw that one out there first, right? It has been said before that I have moved pretty fast at times. However, I couldn't agree with you more. And I wonder whether you rightly pointed out the compare and contrast when you have parallel storylines. And there was the whole Helen and Lee and Tom and Natasha thing and the two siblings.
Yeah.
And then how their respective new relationships are going. Okay. I wonder if it isn't the fact that we're going to end up with Johnny running that farm. He's the steady one. He's slightly conservative in his business practices. Everything that he always, you know, with all this cheeses and cucumber melon hybrid Frankenstein food, whatever, right?
Frankenfruit.
Yeah, it's always Johnny that's a bit like, you know, I'm going to deal with the cows. He's the solid, grounded one. And then actually, yes, we've had, we joke about it all the time, about all these different new business ventures and now they're going to get a designer on an app and all this kind of malarkey.
Yeah.
And Johnny is basically going to end up running that farm.
Yeah.
And putting it on some kind of even keel. He's the backstop, isn't he?
Yeah.
To use a political phrase.
Oh, God, can we not use that phrase? But yes.
The, you know, Helen, flights of fancy, or more to the point, not that all the cheese and stuff is Borsetshire Blues necessarily a flight of fancy, but it's not going to bring in the bacon, so to speak, financially. It is trifling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then Tom with his nonsense. It's Arjani. And yeah. And maybe that's what all this is kind of about, really. That in the background, and there's with Helen saying, you do know what you're doing, you are really competent. And then him deciding to do the whole, Alistair, will you mentor me? So I understand these beasts that I'm looking after.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what's going on here because, you know, they're bloody bonkers, the rest of them, aren't they?
Yeah.
All over the shop. And they shouldn't be in business.
But I mean, I know they're not accountable to anybody else. Are they? They're not a board. It's not like they're a consortium like Home Farm. It's just them loonies, and the money that they had from selling the land for the houses. But I just is. Do you think it's kind of? I don't think it's inconsistent in character that they would be blindly following. I mean, you know, they're all kind of quite passionate. They all like a cause. Tom was completely swayed by Krusty when he first met her. Pat was completely swayed by Alwyn. Helen was completely swayed by Rob. You know, they're all sort of as a family. They're all sort of. They lay themselves open to anybody that speaks with authority and they kind of get carried away. So I can see why Tom is doing all this. But if Natasha's a good businesswoman, she would be, which she supposedly is, she would be thinking, why am I investing all this time and energy in advising, acting as a consultant, a business consultant, basically, for this farm for no return whatsoever?
Well, because she, I suppose there is that. But the other thing which for me feels inconsistent is, remember, Natasha said when she first went round the farm, she said, you're hobbyists, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
And now she's saying,
to start
let's
doing three
have,
more different things. Yeah.
Yeah. With as you said, Frankenfood and apps. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
But talking about, you know, she lives bloody miles away and she's investigating land for sale near Bridge Farm.
Not for much longer, I'll lose.
But she lives miles away and she's investigating land for sale near Bridge Farm. It's just, it makes no sense. It's ridiculous.
And you did feel like, you know, they're setting up this lot for a massive fall, you know, considering they've got, a mil in the bank from selling off the land. And all of a sudden they're going to shell out on, you know.
Yeah. Well, someone said on Twitter, and forgive me again, I can't remember who you were, clever person, but they said, Kirsty and Tom are going to be back together by Christmas. And I think they're right. Because Tom and Natasha are going to burn, crash and burn. Kirsty and Philip, that's not going to work because that's already been queued up to not work.
Well, it was just nonsense in the first place. I wonder. I don't know. I think there is a giddiness to Tom and to Natasha, which, putting all the business stuff to one side, you kind of get it if you're looking at teenage lovers, right? They're getting all giddy and excited and whatever. Mm. But it's a dynamic that makes sense. You're just kind of into each other, and they're answering each other's sentences. I think that's literally what Kirsty said when she was, you know, talking to Roy or to Helen. I can't remember. But again, it did put into sharp contrast, into sharp relief, her relationship with Philip, which does feel totally without any kind of passion and chemistry. I don't think she's gonna move in with him. But it did make me think about those new flats, because are we going to have some kind of expansion of the amount of characters in this thing? Because I haven't really thought about the implications of it. If he's, you know, of all the dull new characters, we don't want him to be a semi-permanent, do we?
God,
no. No disrespect to the actor. I'm sure he's got a fine body of work, knows what he's doing, you know, hits his lines, you know, all the time. But
well done,
Jesus,
you. Yes, but we still don't want you, sorry.
Exactly. Well, look, crumbs. You know, if Leonard was getting a flat there, I'd be thumbs up for that. Thumbs right up. But Philip, sorry, can't call him Phil. No. Toby, Rex, Pip, and Rosie, where are you with all of
well,
that?
Well, as Brian said, Toby unreliable. There's a surprise. I mean, it was, you know, whoever thought? We thought for like 20 minutes that he might have pulled his finger out, but no. I mean, he's not being horrible to the kid, is he? He's just doing his usual thing and trying to do everything at once and not sorting it out properly.
Though it doesn't appear, remember a couple of weeks ago you said, yeah, you had another woman. It doesn't appear like he has.
No.
Because if he wants to, you know, sniffing around, you know, stopping over again, well, you know.
Mm. And also, scriptwriters, he wouldn't wear pyjamas. He said he'd gone back to pick up some new pyjamas and he wouldn't. He'd wear a T-shirt and boxers.
Yeah, but that could be his pyjamas.
No. If you call pyjamas pyjamas, you don't call T-shirt, you'd say, well, you just wouldn't say anything. You wouldn't go and get clean anythings for bed if you were Toby.
You know what? You're so spot on. Why aren't you writing this stuff? You
I'm
should
too
be script
busy
editing.
Being sarcastic about it. That's why.
You should be script editing. I'd completely missed that, you know. But you're completely right. You know, you said it, and it's like so obvious. There's no way he's got like a little two set pajamas, little pajama top and bottoms. No way at all.
Leonard, of course. Leonard
script
probably has.
Editor Lucy V. Freeman. Step forward.
Paul Kerry, that bloody heart attack.
Right. I got more notes, but I'll tell you what, we've got so many calls.
Yeah.
I think we should push my notes to one side and do a bit of this.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first off, it's our Marion who thinks she's a maid.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. Maid Marion here, at Maz Sings UK on the Twitters. This is my first time calling in, so I should probably say I live in sunny Surrey, work as a music therapist, specialism in dementia, and I began listening avidly in 2013 when the first sleep thief arrived in my life and I needed something to listen to while breastfeeding in the night. So I think that makes me a Harassment Burns. Please, not a Rob. I have a plot prediction for you. I think when Helen drops the Rob bombshell on Lee, he will accept it after the initial shock. But his ex will find out and use it as an excuse to stop him seeing his own kids, which will throw an enormous spanner in the works. I, for one, would like to see Helen happy and hear Lee giving Titchy Knob a good karate chop, so I hope I'm wrong. P.S. Isn't it lovely how quiet Hannah has been?
Goodness, I'd forgotten all about her.
I know. Well, that just means she's plotting somewhere, doesn't it? If she's going, you have to worry. She's like a toddler. If it goes quiet, it means things are going to be even worse very soon. She's probably murdered Neil, put him in the pig feed. I think that is an excellent, excellent plot prediction. I think you may be spot on there.
Yes. Well done, Maid Marion, and call in again. Well done. Welcome to the gang. You're going to come up with contributions as good and as clever as that. We need to hear more from you, missus. All right, now let's go to Toronto.
Hello, Tumpty Tump. It's Mary in Toronto. I'm not contrary on Twitter, and I do have a cold this week, so that's why my voice is quite different from usual. I had a comment about Brian's court appearance. It was all a bit of an anticlimax.
Yep.
And the thing that occurred to me was, as they read out the charges that he was going to plead guilty to, they mentioned the relevant legislation and some of it was dated 2016. So I'm just wondering, did we have to suffer through all of this just as a public information campaign for the Environment Agency, just to let farmers know that they're going to be enforcing this new legislation? Not unlike the Helen and Rob storyline, which drew attention to the new coercive control legislation. Just a thought. Okay, bye for now.
Tatty, tatty, bye, our Mary.
She has a sexier voice than you when she's got a cold, Royfield.
She has a sexier voice than me. Sans cold as well. Ah, oh, loose. Right. Okay. Now, we've done Toronto. Maid Marian didn't say where she was from. She would just say Nottingham.
She did. She said Surrey.
Oh.
Sunny Surrey.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm saying Nottingham.
Anyway, Mary, I don't think that's the thing. It was just to explain how he could be fined so much, because it is actually a very serious charge. Please God, we're not going to have public information lectures about the flipping Clean Water Act or something. Right. Where now, boys?
I think we should go to the upper lower west side and and have lower. A little bit of, yeah, the upper lower west east side. And it's New York.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Yoko Bear, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here, back from cavorting with Mickey Mouse. Yes, Disney World was on husband's bucket list and not mine, but I actually have a very large inner child in me, and we both had a great time. Today, I'm calling in defense of Adam and Ian. Before I left a couple of weeks ago, I felt that Royfield and Lucy were a little harsh in their criticism of them.
Nope.
Yes, Adam is a dull, at times self-righteous man. But now that they've gotten past their marital crises, I have no problem with them as a couple. As I've said before, they're the only gays in the village, so I feel the need to support them. Do they have normal conversations like other couples? I'm sure they do, but the scriptwriters don't deem those as amusing as Susan and Neil's. I also celebrate their desire to have a child. Yes, Adam is 51 and Ian is in his 40s. Yes, they're both very busy with their work. Will they have to make sacrifices and get support from family members, such as Jennifer? Undoubtedly. Can they do it? Undoubtedly. Will they succeed? I hope so. Is William succeeding in being a single parent? So far, so good. Now, will the others in the village accept them as a gay couple having a child? Despite horrible Emma and inappropriate Shula, I think that Adam and Ian, as part of the fabric of the community, will receive support from the vast majority of people. And I think that their son or daughter will also be accepted, just as Daniel, Rory, Henry, and even Georgie, son of a very strange biblical triangle, have been.
Yep.
The only question in my head is Lexi. Not that she'll run off with the newborn. After all, as Jennifer said, it isn't her offspring. But will a premature birth in Bulgaria and Brexit throw a monkey wrench into the plans? Time will tell, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Bye.
There is, I'm going to hold my fire on Adam and Ian until we've done New York Nigel, because he has a viewpoint not too dissimilar to our Witherspoon, but we should let him have his moment to opine, and then I'll just dismantle it one by one, what he says. But right.
Can I say something quickly, though, about it?
If you must, go.
I did think that when Adam said, you know, I'll be at the school gate and I'll feel awkward. I won't. And Brian said, well, it's not your age that will make you stand out at the school gate. I thought it'll partly be, you know, if you came out of school and Adam's standing there going, how did it go? You know, you'd just be, oh my God.
Yeah, you are right. It's, my kid's mum did say to me that Ella said, God, Dad asks so many questions when he comes over from California. And Mum says, like what? He asked me how my day goes at school. And her mum went, and I think the realisation that was not the worst kind of thing I could be asking. She went, okay, well, maybe it's not so bad, but he asks it every day. Anyway, why don't we have a little bit of Patrick? I have a sneaky feeling that our Patrick is a new caller. And guess where he's from, Lucy?
Ireland.
Ah.
Hi, Royfield, Lucy and Robert and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. I'm Patrick from Ireland and my Ambridge vintage is Jack Archer. Anywho, my pop prediction is Natasha is going to get more involved in Bridge Farm. Then she'll either fully own it or part own it, but then she will leave Tom. Thank you for always making me laugh. Honestly, Dumpty Dum is the only thing that's getting me through my final year of school. These are honestly the funniest people I know. Thanks, and keep up the great work.
Patrick, we will do. What are you studying and where? Like he did his vintage, but
yes.
Then he didn't. But like if you're going to do it, Patrick, you have to commit, right? And you
yes.
have to go through. We want to know what you're studying, how potentially we can call upon your expertise for future storylines, and where you're studying, man.
And also,
come on.
If you're stuck on anything, we're thick as mints, so we won't be able to help. But there'll be other people that will, and we can provide you with essays, possibly whatever you want.
Exactly, exactly.
Depending on what you're doing. If you're doing computer science, you're on your own, love. But apart from that, oh no, you'd be able to help with that, wouldn't you?
Not much. I'll pass it on to Noah. But anyway, but well done. I think that's our first caller in a row from the Irish Republic. I think
yes.
we had one from Northern Ireland before. Like, I don't think I do know. So,
and I think he's dead right about Natasha as well. There's definitely potential there for her taking over. Then them doing something stupid like signing over half the farm. And then that kind of, you can imagine a conversation with Pat. Tom, how could you do this? Blah, 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 blah. You know, in about a year's time.
Mm. True
that. She's turned it all into a nut farm or something.
Mm. But well done. Well done, Patrick. So we've done the Republic of Ireland, we've done Canada, we've done, oh, you know what? Let's stop recounting places on the globe, which just really, I'm just thinking of Map Corner, Lucy. That's just what I was trying to do there with that. But anyway, let's do our Claire.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. Wanted Hello. To talk today about older men. Firstly, Lawrence, who's...
You should know all about that, Lucy.
He's the same guy that Peggy used to hang out with to visit Jack at the Laurels, and they made friends, and didn't he take her home to see his stained glass making or etchings or something? Anyway, be interesting to see the dynamic when that comes out with Peggy, if he is the same guy. But good on them. And I hope they're very happy and find great contentment, and that David grows up and gets the hang of it and doesn't behave like a petulant teenager. Secondly, on the subject of older men, Kirsten Phillip, I think that relationship is doomed. I think
doomed.
Possibly by the time that Philip actually buys one of the new houses and then Kirsty will not move in with him and that will crystallise it, but possibly beforehand. And that's such a shame because Kirsty doesn't really have a reason to stay in Ambridge, and if they break up, I think she might do what realistically Kirsty, the character, should always have done, which is get the hell out of Ambridge and go and live somewhere
Absolutely.
Else more interesting and have a better life. But
yes.
We will miss her sorely if that happens. Finally, the third older man is the mysterious one, which is where the fuck is Lewis? He's not dead.
Mm.
He's at Lower Loxley somewhere, hidden in a cupboard, and no one mentions him, which is all wrong. Does the script writers not think that we know that he's there somewhere? It doesn't even get a passing mention like Kathy sometimes does, so I don't know what's going on there. It's very bizarre. Anyway, that's all my thoughts. Keep up the good work, and I will talk to you again soon. And also, I wanted to just say that rumours of my dominance and magnificence on matters of podcasts or councils are greatly exaggerated, as I'm sure you'll find when that corner goes live. Cheers, bye.
Well, bye. Lewis has just been transitioned into oblivion, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he
completely.
Is another character who would have realised that Elizabeth couldn't cope, wasn't coping, and that something was up, and would have sent the alarm to our Jill.
Yeah.
You know, and to the other siblings, he would have. So there's a massive plot hole there, script writers. Well done, our Claire.
I did feel sorry
for
Bert when he was, you know, because he was so worried about sort of having to go and speak to her because, you know, everyone knows she's going through a lot and they're not allowed to mention that. They're not allowed to mention the fact that she's behaving very oddly. They're not allowed to mention that the business isn't going very well. You know, it's like they're all in a car with the doors locked, driven by a lunatic straight off a cliff, and none of them are allowed to say anything because, you know, you might upset her. So it's really difficult.
Yes.
And poor old Bert, you know.
The thing is that with old Bert, what I do love is his dynamic with him and Toby and Rex.
Oh, yeah. He's softening up his toenails. I love that.
Absolutely.
And then the coughing. He said, I'll just stay here with Bert. Then he went, from the back door after him. And he's like, oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was all a little bit of kind of Comedy Guild, as they say. Now, so Dunclair Capham. Oh, we've got a stalwart here, our Luce. It's our Glyn.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here.
Hello.
Well, I think the first thing that we have to talk about in the Archers this week is Jill and Leonard. The teaser for the Sunday episode was, I think, something along the lines of Jill has a revelation. And I must admit, I thought we were going to hear that all of that lemon drizzle cake had actually been shop-bought for the last 30 years. It was Leonard. And then Leonard came to visit.
Mr.
And David showed a complete lack of imagination and social skills. But what's
Absolutely.
New?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right at the very end, Jill made that comment about how she hoped Phil was looking down and was liked what he saw. I must admit, I had a wicked thought. No, Jill, Phil is far too busy having a grand time with Grace up there to be worried about what's happening. Elsewhere, other people's relationships are under the microscope. Brian and Jenny, Phil and Kirsty. Adam and Ian, even sort of Roy and Lexi, and Alistair and Shula. So is this setting us up for a bumper Valentine's Day episode? Splits, maybe, you know, Adam and Ian, or getting back together, Alistair and Shula?
Yes.
Being the Archers, probably not. And Thursday we'll probably have a discussion about, you know, milking dairy cows or something. But at least we can speculate for the next few days, and it'll keep our minds off worrying about cliff edge Brexits and other things. Finally, this week, I thought the scene right at the end on Friday where Elizabeth admitted that she had depression was extremely well scripted and extremely well acted, and you could hear how Elizabeth had been frightened to admit this to herself. And, well done. So have a great week, everyone in Dumpty Dumland, and thank you for the podcast. Bye.
Goodness, it's not often I disagree with our Mr. Fuller Love, who's always an eminently sensible gentleman, but I'm sticking fast to what I said before. Great actor, but it was poorly written and poor direction. That I'm sticking to that.
But
however,
you just didn't like the last line, did you? I think I've got depression.
Yes, true. Because he didn't doom, 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 doom. But anyway, I'm repeating myself. Glyn Fuller Love, we salute you for your contributions to the wonderful world that is Dumpty Dum. Now, Luce, you're going back over the Atlantic, and we're going to have a little touch of.
I'm feeling a bit
New
travel
York,
sick
Nigel.
Now. Can we stick to one court? I know.
Oh.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's
Nigel
here. Lucy, I'm loving my Archer's calendar. Now, I agree with you. I wish Adam was a more sympathetic character. He's overdramatic. He's macho. He's a farmer drama queen. Probably the best of both worlds for lots of gay men, frankly. When people say he's a gay character and he's overacting, I think that they don't know how hard we've worked to be taken seriously in a world where boring and conventional drama queens like Kate or Roy, say, get more attention because they overact in a very gender-acceptable fashion. And since when did straight people have a serious conversation about having babies? Brian Aldridge, Kenton, Will and Eddie, or Rando Helen, Jennifer Archer? Pip, even conventional characters stumble into parenthood without asking any questions. How much either party works doesn't seem to matter, so long as they're straight. Children of gay couples perform better at school, and they go to university at a significantly greater rate than children of straight couples.
Wow.
Word about Elizabeth? I heard this actor 30 years ago when she joined the Archers. After finishing school in Switzerland or somewhere, she's grown, she's flourished in the part. Just want to say how impressed I am with her portrayal of a person in the grips of depression. Word about Helen? Shut up. We've heard enough of you for now. Shadowy, clean his trainers, make cheese, be happy, just leave us alone. Word about Leonard? Absolutely, Lucy. All of the Archers are humourless, apart from Jill. She's found someone who gets it. Good luck to both of them. That's it. Word about Natasha.
Oh, word about Natasha and cut off. Now,
probably a good job we couldn't hear what the word was about Natasha.
Now, let me just go back, because it was me a couple of weeks ago that said that how can it be that a farmer and a chef would go into becoming parents and not discuss it? Now, what New York Nigel is forgetting is that Adam did not want this, first off, that Ian had to talk him into it. So then I think it's then quite reasonable for Ian then to go through the mechanics of how this could actually work, considering their schedules, and to say, no, Adam, this is how it could work logistically, considering the fact that right here and now with modern medicine, two men cannot just bump into a pregnancy. They have to, they think of the hoops that these two had to go to conceive this child. So it is quantitatively absolutely different from going out and having, for a heterosexual couple, going out and having a one-night stand and then the woman becoming pregnant. It's completely different. So it's completely different in terms of the mechanics, but also, more importantly than that, it's completely different because Adam said, no, Ian, this is not what I want, right? So it is very different. But I take the point, though, that our gay brothers and sisters have a different standard to reach in terms of the eyes of, let's say, more stereotypical couples.
It's not that they have to reach it, it's they have to be considered better than. Because, you know, as I said, my friends in LA who have a gay couple who have a child, he said, I don't know how you feel as a straight, you know, parent. But he said, as a gay parent, you feel that the entire world is watching you going, I see, I knew you wouldn't be able to do that.
And listen, and also me being a black father who is not with the mother of the children, there's a whole load of expectations kind of thrown at me.
It's all your fault, Royfield, actually,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Knife crime is you.
Well, not even just that, right? Let's bring it a little bit more closer to home, right? That I've knocked her up. I'm not going to be around. I don't care about the resulting pregnancy. The kids don't know me, et cetera, et cetera. So we do have a kind of societal construct of what a, in inverted commas, normal pregnancy should be. But I think it did behove the script writers, considering that the one party, Adam, was dragged into this. Now we believe that he's au fait with it. You know, he was the donor's sperm and he's up for it. For there to be a conversation about the logistics. And yes, they do have help on hand. There's going to be Jennifer, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying it cannot be done, right? But we're supposed to buy into them as a couple. And we have nothing to hang our hats on in terms of real detail of how they actually interact as a couple. It's got nothing to do, that part, with their sexuality. You know, Philip and Kirsty, crap couple. And because we haven't had enough of them going about their daily lives. And considering these are two relatively major characters, at least Adam's a major character, Ian is somewhat secondary in the whole thing, right?
It's quite interesting because you can kind of guess what, you can imagine what Fallon and Harassment's domestic life is, you know. Take away curry on a Saturday night and a box set. And, you know, you can kind of see what, you know, and they both go to the gym together on a Friday or something and then say about how now they're married, they're going to the gym, before they would have been going out clubbing and blah, 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 blah. But I've got no idea what happens with Adam and Ian when the kitchen door closes.
Spot on. Neil and Susan are fundamentally a boring couple. They don't do anything flashy, but you understand them as
they eat chili and have sex, that's it.
and actually are there to help their children. Susan wants Neil to aspire at work and, you know, to be the manager she always wanted him to be, all that kind of stuff. You know, there's enough there. They're not doing anything flashy. They are actually boring. Though I take your point to a small degree, Nigel, about gay couples have the right to be boring. But Jesus Christ, this is a drama. right? We want to be entertained. We want to be entertained, and we want some level of insight with our characters. And I'm sorry, these pair have just been written as placeholders. It's a case of, let's have a couple of gays in the village, and they've taken one beloved character, or at least former beloved, because I think Ian is somewhat losing his luster, and they've given him this storyline which does harken back to Mads and all this stuff way back 10 years ago when he wanted to become a father, and they just haven't served us up a couple with a dynamic that we can believe in, get behind and root for them. Because you know what? I'm all about the bloody underdog, about the marginalised and letting them have their moment in the sun. But these pair, I don't care about them. And actually, listening to Nigel's call has made me think, is this kind of latent homophobia, Roy Field, or am I saying that they don't deserve to be parents? Nothing could be further from the truth. It's just shittily written between the pair of them. And considering that Ian has always had this urge to be a father, they would have served us up and done us right by sitting him down and saying, Adam, look, we can work this out. Here's some of the logistics, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not saying making a whole episode where they go into, well, you finish at the farm at this time and then could you put back? No, but come on, as an aside, as something, because nothing about this pair rings true in terms of,
but then
go.
To back up Nigel, look at Pip and Toby. They had no discussion about how this is going to work.
Yeah, but Luce, that's what I said first off, is that because modern medicine has not found a way for two women, unfortunately at the moment, just to have a casual encounter and to produce a child. That's just fact. That is absolute fact, right? But on top of that, and more importantly than that, remember, Adam said no for a considerable amount of time to Ian wanting to have a child. So it almost incumbent on the whole storyline for Ian, as part of his way, instead of just saying, let's have a baby, to say, look, this is how it could work, considering we both lead the busy lives that we lead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Pip and Toby didn't need that conversation.
We need to care more about Adam and Ian than we actually do.
That's my point. That's literally the rant which I just finished off with, by saying, you know, we are all as dum-de-dummers and as Archers fans rooting for the underdog and for the marginalised. We're all Grundy fans, aren't we? We all are. Yeah. We're like, come on, Grundy, stick it to the man, stick it to the system. The Aldridges are having financial problems and we snigger. Right.
Yeah.
Here are two characters who are representing the diversity of society, and we don't care because of bad writing. There you go. Anyway, on that note, I've been winding myself up to say that, but you know, ever since I heard you call Nigel. And the thing is, mate, you know, I love you, right? We had a wonderful walk across New York coming back from the Norwood Club and stuff, but I couldn't disagree with you more on that point. Although I get the point in terms of why can't the gay characters just have the right to be boring? Fine. But like, let us understand their relationship. Please let us understand it, because I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyway, whew, Luce. I think I need to go and take a cold shower. Right, I'm going to press play on Lucy Greaves' call. I'll come back in 5.
Hi, it's Leslie Greaves here, Special Diet One on the Twitters. Haven't phoned in for ages, but never mind. Being an optimistic sort of person, I kind of wondered whether Freddie might come out of prison, reformed character, and go back and rescue the business rather than Lily, so she could carry on with her education. I think that would be good. Perhaps we should ask Natasha what she thinks about it. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank
Very
you,
funny.
Leslie.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Now, shall we end up with a little bit of local sausage?
Yes.
Well, hello there, all in Dumpty Dumland. Berkshire Sausage here. First time caller, but long term listener to the show. I've been listening to Dumpty Dum for a few months now. So, first things first, where do I fit into the Archer's chronology? Well, when I first started listening, Ambridge was just a collection of mud huts. think he'd only just retired from Ye Olde Bull. I remember Jethro, Walter and Nelson Gabriel, and Marjorie Antrobus. Alice was not even a bulge in Brian's trousers, and Ambridge was blissfully free. I'm probably a Mark Hebden, though, for regular listening, which makes me both dead and boring. So good choice, really. I have a prediction, if you're interested. Plot prediction. I think that Roy and Lexi will work something out, but as soon as that happens, and Roy is restored to something like blissful dreariness, his ex, Haley, will get back in touch, suggesting that they get together again. Is that a cat too many among the pigeons on the village green, I wonder?
Mm.
It would certainly take everybody's mind off that sodding Macy baby and Helen's won't I relationship with Lee. But I've got to go and lie down now, as I've just had a vision of Jill riding in ecstasy under her new bow. So, bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Mr. Sausage.
I don't think Hayley's coming back. It's a shame because she's a lovely actress and she was a very, very popular character, but I don't think she's coming back.
Mm. Yes, and that is kind of appropriate for me then to mention that if you become a Patreon supporter of the show, there is a new episode, a new Dumdy Dum Extra, where I interview Terry Malloy, who played Mike Tucker, who... And he talks about his time now being away for the Archers for a few years and how he feels about it and potential missed storylines. And Terry is very kind of honest in that interview. So go and give that a listen. If you are a Patreon listener, just simply go on to patreon.com and the episode is there. Though I did send out an email to all Patreon and PayPal recurring customers and get, and I've given you the link. So look in your inboxes. If you haven't heard that show, if you contribute regularly to Dumpty Dum. Now, I said, shall we end up in Berkshire? But actually, there is another call from an exotic climber, Lucy.
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo.
Hi, Dumpty Dum gang. This is Drew calling in from Tokyo. This is my first time as a caller-innerer, so I'll introduce myself. I'm originally from a small city outside of Toronto in Canada, but I've been in Tokyo for 15 years now. I work as a professional computer nerd and part-time food delivery man. I started listening to The Archers just before the IBR storyline. So as for what character I am, I guess that makes me a diseased cow. Anyway, I was calling on last week's show, Millie Bell gave some demographic information about the listeners on the Facebook page. She mentioned that there were no listeners from Japan registered. Well, I know that you have at least one because it's me. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Keep up the great work. I've been listening to Dumpty Dum for a few months now, and it's quickly become an important part of my week. Bye for now.
Patrick in Ireland, that's how it's done. You see, he went through all the gears, just saying. right, Luce, this is going to be another one of those kind of like long ones. And I apologise because I didn't off-bloviate halfway through when I got on my high horse, my hobby horse, and I had a little rant. So I've probably added another 15 minutes to this whole show. But I tell you what, I will stop talking and say we'll come back the other side of some advertisements. I'll have a camp coffee break. Luce will probably go and have a little waz or something or other. Or maybe the coal man will come round and she can marvel at his biceps. And we'll come back with a little touch of the yokels.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If country borders and grids can fascinate you, and state names intrigue you, if atlases, globes, city plans, subway maps, and of course, world maps are your thing, if you can name the capital city of Namibia, and if you get giddy about flags, you are in the right place. This is Map Corner, a podcast about the love of maps brought to you by Roy Field Brown and Claire Asprey. Now on with the show.
Google Maps, it's beautiful that they go to the globe. It's just very intuitive. And overall, I think in general terms, it helps to look at a globe occasionally, just to understand that the world is interconnected.
And then, yeah, but what led the young you to be even become
a the young me? There was a pure accident. So I'm not as much into the Mercator bashing, which is currently a bit of a hip thing ever since this West Wing episode came out.
This is episode one of Map Corner. Now, if you are a Twitter user and you love a map, and if you don't love maps, why are you even on this podcast? Simon Kustenmacher is basically somebody who you've retweeted his great posts. Simon, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
First off, people that like maps are incredibly dull people. We're boring, we're nerds, we don't have any friends. So why is it that a young Simon was turned on to the world of cartography?
It's Tuesday morning in Kingston, Jamaica. It's 6:30 a.m. I'm Suzanne Stanley, the CEO of the Jamaica Environment Trust.
You're tuned to RJR 94 FM, Real Jamaican Radio.
A fire that started yesterday at the Riverton City landfill on Spanish Town Road in Kingston is still raging at this hour. It's reported that the blaze has worsened due to heavy gusts of wind fanning across the area.
We are currently standing in Corby Gardens.
It's a very nice community. The only problem has been for the last couple of years is the constant nuisance of the smoke just being a few miles from the Riverton City Dome.
Riverton actually became a very hot topic during our delivery of the project. So we are a non-government environmental organization. We were started in 1991.
After 6 days, the fire at the Riverton Dump has been contained by fire officials. However, local agency, the Jamaica Environment Trust, JET, says there's a lot to be answered for.
The Jamaica Environment Trust is deeply alarmed at the state of affairs concerning the Riverton Dump. It should not be that every year the country has to expend millions of dollars to out these types of fires.
Just
So when you're talking about Riverton, for example, you know, Riverton is one side of the issue. That's where your waste ends up. That's the part of the issue that you that many Jamaicans don't see. Most Jamaicans have never been to Riverton. Most Jamaicans don't think about Riverton unless there's a dump fire that's affecting Kingston or there's some item on the news.
Commonwealth Voices
is a podcast about
citizens coming together
to participate in democracy
and influence the institutions
that shape their lives.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Yokel Bear here, calling with the social media roundup for the week. And we started talking about the Aldridge family and what we would like to see the court date on Tuesday bring the family. We did a people's poll, like we always do, and we gave these two options. Either do you want closure or resolution for the family, or do you want them to experience more misery? Now, I thought I could predict this way the poll would go in this case. I was wrong. You're far less bloodthirsty than I thought you were, Dumpty Dummers, because 65% of you said they want closure or resolution, and only 35% said more misery, please. Though Anne Liddon did say, I'm hoping to see Brian wearing a community payback tabard, picking up litter on the Borchester Highway. He could bond with Susan over tabard designs. Judith Lawrence actually kind of wanted it split. She said, abject misery for Brian, freedom for Jennifer. And yeah. Melissa Williams actually made a rather rash promise. She said, I could actually bring myself to kiss Joe Grundy. Closure and resolution, please. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go quite that far, Melissa. Though I will say, Joe Grundy, yeah, he played a blinder there, didn't he? Kind of without realising. Joe's full of wisdom sometimes. I mean, he's full of cider more times. Sometimes he is full of wisdom. So, the day of the sentencing came, and was justice served? Well, a lot of people thought it was a bit of an anti-climax. Marjorie Diamond said, shame, I was looking forward to Brian doing time and Jenny Darling finally seeing the light in setting up a feminist commune with Pat and Shula. Richard Beveridge went all biblical and said, away with Aldridge, give us Barabbas. Jesus, this goes. He's been missing for about 17 years now and got the impression that Brian and Jenny were just rolling in it. Plus, they've also just sold their home. So, and judging from property values, £120,000 hardly would make a dent. Though, Jean did make this interesting comment, said, of course, they have to fork over for an Ambridge event. That may break them. Yeah, I think there's something coming with that event. And we asked the question, does Kirsty actually know how she really feels? Peter Mabbott said, perhaps Kirsty enjoys the relationship, but also wants her own space. I know several couples who have successfully lived like that for years. Andrea Melling said, yes, she's not that into Philip, but she doesn't want to go back to square one at her age. Yeah, perhaps has it as well. I think she wants to be with someone, but whether it's Phil, so, yeah, I don't know. And also, you know, I think somebody else posted that she always calls him Philip, and it's all a bit formal. Paul Green said she knows there's not a proper match, and she's just settling for a relationship because society sees you as incomplete or unhappy if you are single. Be more like Jazza. Yeah, absolutely great advice there. We also asked the question, as Alistair is taking up the role of advisor or mentor to Johnny, brilliant, Johnny. What one piece of advice would you give to an Ambridge resident right now? Liz Edden said, Jenny, one can cook without an arca, darling. Helena Bennett said, Jill should move to Portugal with her new boyfriend and leave her family to look after themselves. They can't, though, Helena. I mean, God, David, Ruth, God, without the additional food from Jill, I think they'd all get rickets. Ben Thompson went for a more generic advice, which is don't do it, which is Ben's advice to almost all of them at the moment. Andrea Melling also said, send the boys round, David, debt collection mob style. Yeah, this is really annoying me. He's not paying back his debts, but he's buying loads of vinyl. And to be honest with you, nobody cares if it's on vinyl in the pub. Just put it on CD player. Do you know what I mean? And Paul Green, getting a second mention, said, tell Sheila that if she wants to look at penises, try Google, which made me laugh out loud. And also, Stephen Bowden got to mention this comment. Kathy, they've forgotten about you. Now is the time to strike. Kill them all. Kill them all. Burn Lower Loxley to the ground. Rebuild Gay Grables as a temple to the one that screams in the night. And then Stephen went all a bit H.P. Lovecraft, which is marvellous, considering his post also ended with, oh, hello, you two. We also asked about some initial thoughts on Leonard as Jill's new boyfriend, we guess. Oh, my God. Like, Jill's getting more romance than I am. Oh, God. But a lot of people commented on how awful that dinner party was because Ruth and David were just awful. Lorelei Dunbar Dudley said listening to it was ghastly. It couldn't have been more awkward if they tried. Kate Lyle said David and Ruth are adult human beings. Presumably they're capable of showing dealing with a dinner party for a new person. And though most people liked Leonard, Rob Williams, I don't know whether this is praise or not, but Rob Williams said, Leonard sounded like he was written by Alan Bennett.
Yes.
And we're going to finish with the poll that we had at the end of the week. If you look at our Facebook page, I posted something, Witherspoon posted something, but we have opposing views. I'm not a fan of Natasha. Witherspoon likes Natasha. So we put a poll out. Do you like Natasha or dislike her? Well, last count, 298 of you have voted, and it's clear 90% of you say you don't like Natasha. I won. Yay! Thank you very much. She's rubbing people up the wrong way, but I'm interested to see where she goes. Though I do take on board what Witherspoon said about her being, you know, a successful businesswoman and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's the winning that matters, and I won on the poll. I'm off to stock up just in case of a no-deal Brexit, so I need to go out and stock up on fig rolls, Borsetshire Blue. I can't even speak this week. Borsetshire Blue. Oh, God, I've ruined that joke. Anyway, yeah, I was going to say about stocking up on Jenny's game pie, which actually sounds a little bit rude. Anyway, on that note, I think I'll go. Right, you've got the lovely Millie Bell next week, and I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Tati, bye. And I just say, as somebody who once used to be a disc jockey and still has virtual decks on my laptop, no one, bar no one, plays CDs out anymore. You have MP3s and you play them from your laptop. Just saying.
Good.
Right. Now, you've gone all really echoey, Lucy.
Oh, have I? Sorry. Is that better?
Keep talking.
No. I don't know what to say.
No, you've gone quite reverby, but anyway.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you haven't got that thing over your head or something.
No, I'm too hot. Shall I do it again? All right, I'll do it again. Hang on.
It does make all the difference.
Oh, God, the heat is on. That's why I'm too hot. Go off, you stupid thing. You're going to put that stupid music behind me again, aren't you?
Ah,
there we go. I've got it over my head now. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. You didn't listen to when you went off last week when I played.
Is everybody danced now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
I didn't listen, but I saw Witherspoon say it.
Right. Nice to know that you listen back to the shows.
Well, I was there the first time. I don't need to hear it again.
Fair enough. Right, Lucy, why don't you hit us with some tweets, please?
Within about 2.7 seconds of Leonard appearing on the programme, he had his own Twitter account. Leonard Beret of Brockholes said, Jill's children all seem to be a bit balmy, to be honest. Looking forward to meeting Shula. I'm sure she'll be sane and relaxed. Linda Murdoch-Moon, why are people taking against Leonard? He's been very willing to meet Jill's awful family, and she seems very happy. I don't think he's boring, and I'll continue to support him until he asks for her PIN numbers. Matt Underwood, Leonard. Well, this is all very nice. David, you're not my real dad!
Little Kim said, "You leave Bert Fry alone, you screeching harpy." I mean, poor Elizabeth, please get some help. And tweet of the week is John Featenby, who said, "I hope Leonard has a brother who is the elderberry."
Yay. Well done. Well done. Folks, when you go onto dumdydum.com and hit the tab marked shop and then go onto the store and purchase some stuff, do like Witherspoon and the other people who not only have purchased, but also send a pic of you in your clobber. And we will post it on our socials, and we'll put it on our Facebook and on our Twitters, because we like to see you in your dum-de-dum merch, sipping tea out your dum-de-dum mugs and cups, because it's awesome like that. So don't forget, don't just go on there and buy stuff and say, job done. Oh, no, sirree, Bob. Go tell the world. Well, tell us, and then we'll go tell the world on your behalf what you've done with your hard-earned money, which is spending it on dum-de-dum stuff. So go to dum-de-dum.com, go do that. What else is there? Oh, Patreon. Before I go on to Patreon, actually, I did say this before, and I said to myself I was going to say this at the start of the show, but I forgot because I'm just rubbish like that. But please go on to Apple Podcast and write us a review. Tell the world what you think about Dum-de-dum, because that is a great way of us increasing the amount of Dum-de-dummers there are in the universe. So go on there, write a review, more people get to listen to the show, and then it's a big thumbs up from Lucy and I. Now, Lucy, why don't you do, I'm going to do Patreon. Go on to Patreon. It's $2 a show, and when you do that, then you can listen to extra content, which is invariably me or Lucy or somebody else interviewing one of the actors, one of the great or the good that love the Archers, and bringing that interview to your very own ears. So if you want an interview to your very own ears, why don't you go to patreon.com, sign up, it's $2 per show, and then you get the extra content. Now, Lucy, there's a bit in red.
Remember to get in contact with us. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website, or you can call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message.
On the social, specifically Twitter, you can find me, Royfield, and our Lucy at Dum-de-dum. It's kind of Yokel Bear, really. He's the genius behind all the funny stuff that goes out on that account. But on Twitter, why don't you follow our Lucy at
Lucy V. Freeman?
And I can be found at Royfield. Big shout out goes out to the Map Corner posse. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Map Corner will be launching very soon, folks. However, I need you to go onto mapcorner.space. There is a little trailer when you get there, the forthcoming show. But I need you to go on there, hit SpeakPipe, tell us about your map-related questions or about an awesome map that you found. Because I know people do that on Twitter all the time. But what we need you to do, so I'm looking at you, Purple Pumpkin. You are forever posting me maps, or Ben Johnson. Message goes out to you, or even Julie Mountain. Karen Cunningham, there's loads of you. Please don't stop tweeting the maps to me with the hashtag Map Corner, but go on to SpeakPipe on mapcorner.space and tell us about the map that you've actually posted, because we want to hear your voices on the show. As soon as I get five of those, we're going to launch the first episode. So
mapcorner.space, did you just say?
I did. Yeah, that's the URL.
Dot space.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe I should have got mapcorner.info. But yeah, all the .co.uk's and the .coms are run out for everything. So all these weird and wonderful kind of end of URLs now. So with .space, I thought map space kind of has some kind of, makes some kind of sense. That's what I bought. Is that all right?
Right. Yes.
Oh, smashing. Right. So Ben Johnson, Julie Mounding, Purple Pumpkin, Karen Cunningham, Keith, you know who you are. Go on to mapcorner.space and post a little note about your favourite map that you've posted in. Facebook, go on there. It's the Mealy Bell, the Yokel Bell, the Witherspoon show, and it just ticks along so very nicely. Right, Lucy. This is the part of the show where you now give us a Daily Mirror headline.
Yep. Give me 2 seconds. I'm just trying to find it. Jamie Theakston dropped by Who Do You Think You Are because his past is too boring. I thought that was funny.
He was dropped by who?
Who Do You Think You Are? That program where they go back and research your family. And they said, I'm sorry, your family's too boring.
But that's not the first time that's happened, though, is it? That's happened to quite a few people.
Isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not at all.
I remember Martin Freeman having to sit there while he found out his entire family was riddled with syphilis. And it was quite difficult for him to kind of keep up a brave face, I think.
I can't remember who, but when that first or the second season of that show came out, there was somebody quite famous and there was an article written saying that, yeah, they couldn't find anything. There's nothing of note. And it was somebody quite big as well. But anyway, he's in good company. I thought you were just saying that Jamie Theakston was just boring, which I think that'd be pretty valid, actually. He's really had his time, hasn't he, Jamie Theakston? If you're going to pull up Jamie Theakston as a celebrity that you're doing on that, he's like very thin pickings, isn't it? Because he's really Mr. 80s. No, not Mr. 80s, Mr. 90s. Mr. Late 90s, Jamie Theakston was in his pomp, his imperial phase. What do you think they'd find if they delved back into your history, Arluce?
Oh, good Lord. I'm probably wanted in about 3 countries that I don't know.
Well, why do you think I keep moving from country to country?
Well, I have wondered that in the past, to be honest.
Cool. All right, folks. I think that's enough of your dum-de-dums. That's it. I've got now more to add, so I'm going to leave it up to Lucy to give the salutations.
That's it, really. goodbye. And have a nice week. And see you next week. That's it. Yes.
Smashing.